after the kids get back. All right, tonight the title of my message is By the Skin of Her Teeth. Now, you know there's an old saying taken from Job 19, verse 20, that he says, I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Now, what he was describing was he felt a very narrow escape from death. In other words, he just barely made it. Now, if you know the story of Job, the Bible tells us that he was a man that lived a very godly life, and God blessed him with a lot of wealth. One day, Satan confronted the Lord about Job and said, if you would just lift the hedge around him, lift the umbrella of protection, he would turn against you. God agreed to do this under the condition that he would not kill him. So you see, although God will allow Satan to test each and every one of us, and he does, but we must understand that he's still in control, and he only allows Satan to go so far with his children. Now, in the case of Job, and Satan caused him to lose a lot of his money, his possessions, his children. Worst of all, caused him a lot of physical pain. Yet never once during this time did Job ever lose his confidence. He lost everything, but he says, I escaped by the skin of my teeth. Now, tonight, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, and we're going to see Paul using a term that parallels this saying, I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. And he's talking about Christians. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. This is Paul talking to some folks in the church at Corinth. Very worldly people. But he's, for some reason or other, and we'll get into that, but for some reason or other, he was felt very confident that most of that these people were saved. So as we look at 1 Corinthians 3, beginning verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, wherewith he is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet is so by fire. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord. Once again, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word tonight. We pray that you would just bless us to our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us to better understand our position in God's realm, Lord. We just ask now that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit, hide me behind the cross, and we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Now, like I said earlier, this evening I want to bring to your attention Paul's remark in verse 15 of our text when he says, but he himself shall be saved, yet by fire. Now, he's not indicating here that they themselves are going to be put into a fire. He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about when a Christian meets their judge, which is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, that if nothing pans out for rewards, he's saying, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. In other words, there's a lot of people in this world today. A lot of people, since Christ has died, have gotten into heaven by the very skin of their teeth. Now, like I say, Paul's talking about, of course, when Christians stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the works that deserve heavenly rewards, and those works that will be thrown out because they were based on our worldly and selfish things. Now, he's talking about folks here that do not have time for the things of God. We all know those type. And most of the things they do are based on their desires to live in the world. He says these people, if they're truly saved, are going to get to heaven, but they only get there by the skin of their teeth. Now, I think of the time when I was doing this message, I thought of a time when I was sitting with all the other kids in my graduating class. All I cared about was getting my diploma and getting out of there. All I had, I've had 12 years of my life invested, and freedom was just minutes away. I could see the door. This was the way I went through school, never looking at the future, only having fun playing sports and trying to be cool. Then as I sat that night or that day at graduation, I sat and watched the scholarships as they were presented to many of my classmates. Some received several recognitions, some a great deal of money towards their future education. And I got nothing but my diploma. Now, not one time did the principal embarrass me or make me feel ashamed. He simply ignored me. After all, I didn't do anything to earn anything other than that. I began to feel really bad. I know I could have done something about it, but it never occurred to me. Now, we're comparing this to the Christians that are walking in a worldly life. And it occurred to me that I could have done something about it. But during that time, I didn't know how bad I was going to feel. But it was too late. I could not go back and change the past. I just had to sit there and be ashamed inside. I got exactly what I deserved. I got my diploma. The carnal Christian today is going to get exactly the same thing. They'll get their way into heaven, but that's it. I got my diploma by the skin of my teeth. I got nothing else because I didn't earn anything else. I had all my football letters, my track letters. I give my sweater away to some girl. I don't remember who it is, but I don't have my school sweater anymore. But that's all I had left. But what good are they going to do me now? All I had to show was two bad knees. But you see, I lost earthly rewards in my actions in school. But my actions for the rest of my life are going to determine my eternal rewards. That's what's important. Now, I believe that many of us at the judgment seat of Christ are going to be a little disappointed, like I was. Like I experienced my graduation, I got exactly what I earned. There isn't a single soul here or anybody listening that's going to get anything more than what they've earned. Now, I feel blessed when I see people dying to themselves. I've seen it. We've had it in this church. And they're living for Christ, committing their lives to Him, and working for the furtherance of the gospel. One day, they'll see their rewards. While those that only worried about the moment in their lives on this earth, not caring about the future, they're going to be very disappointed when they're judged. Much like I did when I watched my classmates receive all those rewards that they earn, by the way, they earn for their futures. Now, while I sat there wishing that I had put forth a little more effort rather than just living for the moment, I'll never get the chance to change that outcome. But as long as I'm alive, I do have the opportunity. You have the opportunity, Christians, tonight. You have the opportunity to overcome my eternal future. When our day comes stand before Christ, we have the opportunity right now. As long as we have breath in our bodies, we have the opportunity to earn our rewards. And I've said it before, it's like that dash on a gravestone. Mine's gravestone's out there, the tombstone's out there, and it says John Van Horn, date, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a dash and a blank. So the only thing that matters, not when I was born, it was that dash, that simple little dash. That is my life. That represents what I've lived, what I've done. And that's exactly what Paul's explaining here to these carnal Christians in the church of Corinth. Look at the first two verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And what he's telling us here is the type of people he's teaching. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto You were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are carnal, that means worldly. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk like men? You see, in verses 1 and 2 here, we see Paul talking to people that have professed Christ. And for some time, yet all of a sudden, Paul has to get after them because they're doing nothing, absolutely nothing. He says, I can't teach you the meat of the Bible. Can't teach you the meat of the Bible. It says in verse 1, he said, I, brother, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. We all know babes in Christ. Babes means they're like babies in this world. When they're born, they know very little. But as they grow, they learn how to do things. But when he's talking about Christians that were born again, but never moved, never, ever learned any further. He could teach them the spiritual things, but why bother? Because they were not really interested. We see that all the time. Brother Page, as he stood behind the pulpit, I know, just like me, we've looked at people in the auditorium that you could tell were getting absolutely nothing out of God's word and didn't want anything. All they were doing was looking at the clock, figuring, I need to get out of here. But in verse 2, Paul says, I've preached to you the basics of being a Christian, yet you've not learned. He says, I fed you with the milk and not with meat. And he's saying, up to this point, he says, for hitherto, you're not able to bear it. And here's the sad part. Neither yet now are you able. In other words, these folks, it wasn't going to do him any good to preach the hard core of the Bible because they were not interested. They had never gotten away from the worldly things that they coveted, even after they were saved. For some reason or other, Paul seems to know or at least think these people are saved. Now, you and I have all seen people come to the altar. We've all seen people weeping and accepting Christ as their personal Savior. But you know, whether it's just up here in their desire to want heaven, so you can want to go to heaven, but there's only one way to get there, and you got to move that thought from your mind down to your heart. In other words, you can. Everybody wants to go hell. I don't think anybody that I ever know. Well, I guess I've heard of a few people that wanted to go to hell, but nobody that I know of for sure. But the thing of it is, there's still only one way to get there. And he could see that they're worldly because of the way they acted. Look at verse 3. And keep in mind, the word carnal has the meaning of worldly. It says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, I've been in churches for a long time, and I've seen a lot of divisions. I've seen a lot of strife. And I've seen a lot of envy over the years. But these probably are the same people. I'm like Paul. I believe they were probably saved. But I had one church one time. I don't know about this particular guy. I don't even have any thoughts one way or the other. Only the Lord knows. But he told me after a business meeting one time, he says, I'll tell you how we used to settle things. He says, we used to go out in the parking lot and have a fist fight. I says, that's a great way for a Christian to act, isn't it? And he kind of just looked at me. But, you know, he said, and I don't doubt it. I really do not doubt at that particular time that they would have gone out. But anyhow, but churches are full of carnal Christians today, just like they were in the day of Paul's. There's people that have been in churches all their lives, yet have not the slightest idea about what being a Christ servant is all about. Many think coming to church once a week fulfills the responsibility of a Christian. The problem with that theory is coming to church and keeping an instruction is our duty. We're not doing God a favor. We're not doing God a favor for us sitting in these pews tonight. We're doing what God says we're responsible to do. Duty and responsibilities are two completely different things. The Bible says that we are servants or children when we're children of God. And as children of God, we have certain duties to perform. For instance, the Bible says that it is our duty or fear to be obedient to God's word. That means we need to listen to God's word. That means we don't only listen, but we do. We follow God's word. Ecclesiastes, now we read this last Sunday, Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Bottom line, fear God, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You notice God did not give us an option. He didn't say, do it if you want to. He said that is our absolute duty. And that's to say there's nothing more important than fearing God and keeping his commandments. Then in Romans 12:1, he tells us again that we are to sacrifice our whole life, our whole being to his service. He says in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That beseech has a meaning of begging. He says, I'm begging you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Same thing as our duty. Now, Paul was fighting this worldly strife when Paul was confronted with the people arguing about which man was led him to the Lord. And look at verses 3 and 4. Well, we just read 3. Let's look at verse 4. It says, for while one saith, I am Paul, and another say, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, they were looking at, that would be like a convert looking at me like I saved him. There is no man that saves anybody. Ministers are nothing more than men. And women, it says, Paul reminds them that no matter who the man was that showed them the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, because whichever one of them was, they were just messengers of the Lord. Look at verse 5. And he's telling them. Now these are people that says, well, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. Paul tells them, who is Apollos? Or who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. Even as the Lord giveth to every man. Now I want you to catch that last verse. If you notice the final part of that last verse, says the ability of leading others to the Lord is something that God has given all men. Even as the Lord is given to every man. You understand, he's talking about him and Apollos were only ministers by whom they believed. In other words, the one that showed you the gospel of Jesus Christ, even the Lord gave to every man. So every man in this world, if they're born again, has the obligation, has the duty to tell others about Jesus Christ. You see, the responsibility of all Christians, and that's my dear brother, brings us to the responsibility, and that is to be able to lead others to the Lord. Now, if you remember what Ecclesiastes said, it's our duty to obey the commandments or precepts of God. But it is our responsibility to know how to tell others. That is our responsibility, because you can't tell others if you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus gave each one of us the responsibility in his very last words before his ascension. The last words of Jesus Christ was, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, this is how God's church has always grown, with baptized believers. Not with people that just come to hear the band, not just people to come to hear jokes and the day's sports and so on and so forth, but this is how the church has always grown. That's, of course, Christians telling the lost and showing them how to be saved. Now, we'll see in just a minute that it's everyone's responsibility to plant, both plant and water. I might go out and talk to somebody. Well, this example I had of this friend of mine in Loudonville that I work for. I know I've told you about him before. And by my example, he wanted what I had. And I probably spent, if you tied all the hours together, I probably had 40, 50 hours in just telling him about salvation, telling him about Jesus. But yet I did. I watered the seed. But Gary Lucas, the pastor at that time, he got the responsibility. He went to Gary, and when Gary talked to him, he got saved. So I had the seed watered. A lot of water went onto that seed. But the man's still in church today. He's still in church today. And we'll see in a minute how it's up to you and I to plant and water the gospel. Now, over the years, I don't know about you, but I particularly noticed it in Ashland for a while, a couple teenage boys, they were either walking or riding a bicycle. They had dressed in white shirts, ties, and black pants. Yeah, they were two boys. They were on their two-year mission trip. Two-year mission trip of winning people to the cult of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Now, this is one of the fastest-growing cult religions in Ohio, in the United States. But I ask you, when's the last time you saw a teenager out telling somebody about Christ? I've only seen this a few times in my life. The teenager from the Maranatha Baptist Church there in Hayesville stopped one time at my house. Now, I don't necessarily blame the young people today, because for the most part, they're learning their ways from their parents. If their parents are good Christians, chances are pretty good. Maybe not right out of school, like some, but they will come back to the Lord. But you see, if we're here tonight and we're saved, heaven's still waiting on us. No matter what we do, if we really from the heart accepted Christ, it's waiting on us. But won't it be terrible to go there by the skin of our teeth with nothing to show for that dash in our lives? There's going to be those people that take the responsibility that is theirs to tell others about living for Christ. Just like many of my classmates receive these rewards, and I sit there and watch them get it. Now, I don't believe we're going to watch what other people's rewards gets. I believe we're going to be judged independently, but I cannot say that dogmatically. But as we finish our text for tonight, Paul is explaining that we should all be laborers working side by side. Working side by side to build the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:8 and 9. It says, now he that planteth, now he's talking about the seed of salvation. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. See, we have to understand, we're only going to get the reward for things that we did. Just like when I was in school, I wasn't interested. I had fair grades, but I just was one of these guys that got by. But it was shameful. The day I watched these other kids get all these rewards. And God's given us all the information we need, folks. But we need to be interested. We need to be interested and take heed how God wants us to live our life. Because we don't want to be standing there wishing I'd have done something different. Because I believe that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to realize that we did not do the things we should have done. And some of the things we did, we should not have done. Okay? But look at Psalm 39, 10 and 12, and we'll see what, if any, our life's work will make the test of truly being done for God. I'm sorry, this is not Psalm. This is, I believe this is still 1 Corinthians, verses 10 and 12. Why I got Psalms on there, I don't know. But anyhow, look at verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. In verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Now I hope as we sit here tonight that we are not going to be one of the ones that just get to heaven by the skin of our teeth. Because in verse 15 it says, if any man's work shall be burned. In other words, if there's something we have done and we did it for our own glory. You know, there's a lot of people in church that do things for their own glory. They're not really doing it for God or for Christ. They're doing it for their own glory so that they look good in the church. It says, if any man's work shall be burned, and those will be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so will fire. So for most part, it's a little bit like my graduation day. But the rewards we receive in our day of judgments will live with us for eternity, folks. And eternity is a long time. It'd be nice to live with a lot of rewards. It'd be better to live with a lot of rewards than a lot of treasures here on earth and a lot of worldly things. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for our many, many blessings. We thank you for the life you've given us. We thank you for the folks here tonight. And